Today on Real Radio.
You ever seen boys fighting on the street corner? My daddy can beat up your daddy. Or my brother can beat up your brother. They're boasting back and forth. Well, in a way, our God beat up their gods.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his series through the book of Joshua. We're up to chapter 10 right now, and the first 21 verses of chapter 10 tell us of the circumstances that surrounded Joshua and his men of valor as they took another city on their way to the Promised Land. Now, this section also mentions how the God of Israel himself joined into the fight, if you will, and made certain the victory in a very unusual way. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a study called Victory in the Life of a Christian.
You know, God can stick his pinky finger into a cumulonimbus cloud, which produces ice, and just shake it up and make a hailstone that looks like Donald Duck for all he cares. He can ice carve the thing and deliver it on the doorpost of your house there, you know, if you wanted to. You may say, well, I have a hard time with that. Why? Well, it's just kind of like major supernatural. Well, how'd you ever get in here to begin with? Because we believe in Genesis 1:1, man. And by the way, the evidence in science supports Genesis 1:1 too, much better than Darwin's dream. In the beginning, God, the ultimate design engineer, created the heavens and the earth. And everything in this created world speaks of design and engineering. It's got his fingerprints all over it. If you can get past Genesis 1:1, then Joshua chapter 10 is downhill for you. It's easy. He's huge. He can do whatever he wants. And this is the part that blows my mind. It's not that the hailstones came down, but the fact that the hailstones came down, this is smart bombs. This is smart ice. The hail landed only on the enemy and not on the Jews. That's awesome. Can you imagine? Joshua, did you see? Anyway. Crushed them. More people were crushed by hailstones than by the sword. I like when God does stuff like this. Now, see, I'm not afraid of this because through Jesus Christ, we get to be on God's side. If I wasn't on God's side, I might be upset like you might be right now. I don't think I'm getting very much out of this. Well, why not? Why not? He's awesome. He's God. Enjoy him. Get on his side if you're not on his side. Make a choice. It says in verse 12, then Joshua spoke. I'm sorry, this is still funny. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. The ice is falling. People are smashing. Joshua, with sword drawn, watching this stuff happen, Joshua says, Lord, right in the middle of the whole thing, he's going to offer up a prayer. He says, verse 12, sun, stand still over Gibeon and moon in the valley of Ajalon. What kind of a prayer is that? And so the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge on all their enemies. Okay, well, hang on a minute here. By the way, this is the last recorded miracle in the book of Joshua. So let's enjoy it. In the heat of the battle, Joshua cries out, even in the midst of spiritual intervention, supernaturally by God with ice coming out of heaven. Joshua, in the presence of Israel, offers up a prayer and says, sun, stand still, and moon, cease there in the valley of Ajalon. Now get this in your mind's eye. The scripture says directly overhead in Gibeon, the sun stood still. And in the valley of Ajalon, which would be to your right, where you're sitting right now, is west. The valley of Ajalon is west from Gibeon. In fact, if you keep going west, you go right straight into the Mediterranean Sea. Now, let me ask you something. Was the moon really in the valley of Ajalon? No. It looked like it was in the Valley of Adullam. Was the sun standing still directly over Gibeon? No, it looked like it was standing still over Gibeon. Jack, are you trying to explain away a divine miracle of God? No, not at all. In fact, I'm going to give evidence to substantiate what is stated here regarding the greatness of God. Have you ever seen those mornings, mid-mornings, when you look into the sky and the sun is up and you look to the west and you see the moon setting, where the sun and the moon are in the sky at the same time? And it's just a sliver, by the way, at that time of the year, or that time of the month, I should say. Watch this. How does this work scientifically? Well, first of all, let's say this. Our God is the creator of science, which means he is greater than science and can overrule any scientific law that he creates because he's not subject to this physical universe. Having said that, let's look at it more human-like. If the sun stood still and the moon stood still, then that would throw off the entire known universe. If we depart from English and go into the Hebrew, the original scripture in its original language, guess what the word says? It implies that the sun and the moon appeared to slow down because, in fact, the earth slowed. That's what's implied. The earth's rotation was retarded or slowed up. In fact, look with me. Oh, the verse here that says, look at verse 13, so the sun stood still, the moon stopped till the people had avenged themselves on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? That's one of the poetic writings of Israel. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten. You got to circle that word hasten, because in the Hebrew, it implies the opposite, not hastening, but slowing down. Instead of the earth on its, 23 and a quarter degrees axis spinning? By the way, do you know where we're spinning right now? Right now, you and me, right now. You know we're going over 1,100 miles an hour right now? You look pretty good for going 1,100 miles an hour. You know the only reason why you look good is because you and I have reached equilibrium. Everything's moving. We're all moving. Well, I'm sitting here. You're going 1,100 miles an hour. In fact, God, it's cool. He didn't stop the earth. He slowed it down. How much? I don't know. But enough to allocate another day's worth of light for Joshua. Half a day, whole day, we'll see in a moment. But watch this, enough light. The amazing thing is if God stopped the earth, in about an hour and three quarters, you'd be in New York. See how accurate the scriptures are? This is fantastic. But Jack, it says that the sun and the moon slowed then. No. This is from the point of observation. The moon looked like it was in the Valley of Adullam, when in reality the moon was out there in space. But the point of reference was what? The Valley of Adullam. When the sun appeared to stop and the moon appeared to stop, according to what reference? Earthly reference. I'll prove it to you this way. The scientific almanac will tell you what tomorrow's sunrise time will be. Did you know that? Did you know that's absolutely false? What? The sun never rises and the sun never sets, my friend. The earth turns. The sun's there. He's just there. The earth goes around the sun every 365 and quarter days, one-third days or one-quarter days. The sun's just there. It's the rotation of the earth. So from the point of observation, the scientists say, well, the almanac says that the sunrise is going to be, you mean the apparent sunrise is going to be at 6:54. You see what I'm saying? That's exactly what we see here. The point of observation. And you still might say, I have a very, very difficult time with this. Well, you know what? You need to let God be a little bit bigger. You need to take some science courses or get a microscope. That's what you ought to do, is buy yourself a microscope. And look at your skin. Or here's a good thing. Go get a microscope and get a mosquito and put that thing under a microscope and look at it. After you're done screaming, then you'll thank God that they're so small. The creation of these things are brilliant. Know how great your God is. He can do anything, even meet your mortgage. He can do it. It's possible. He's great. What I'm saying is God is big and he's well able. And we're going to sneak ahead to end it in verse 21 because we need to stop this. But I want to come back and we'll end with a challenge to you. It says in verse 15, then Joshua returned and all Israel with them to the camp at Gilgal. There's that word again. And these five kings had fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. Wimps. I can't blame them. We probably would have did the same thing if we were not on God's side. And it was told to Joshua, saying, the five kings have hid themselves in the cave at Makkedah. And so Joshua says, you know what, put a big stone over the cave and put guards on it. But the rest of you guys, let's get going. And let's slay the enemy before they get into their fortified cities. And then it says in verse 21 that no one spoke a word against the children of Israel. Why? Because their God is so big. You ever seen boys fighting on the street corner? My daddy can beat up your daddy. Or my brother can beat up your brother. They're boasting back and forth. Until there's a fight. And then one of the daddies or one of the brothers wins, right? And then nobody talks about it anymore. My daddy can beat up your daddy. Well, in a way, our God beat up their gods. And let me tell you how. You know why Joshua so boldly looked up into heaven and said, sun, stand still, and moon, stop in the valley of Ajalon. Guess what deities these five nations worshipped? The sun and the moon. Yes. Isn't that great? And the gods that you worship obey the voice of Joshua. I think you would, and I would, be in trouble. What a declaration. The day stopped and provided light. By the way, in exact correlation to this, there are writings in Chinese, the Mayan, the Aztecs, and in India, writings of antiquity that state these same things regarding where they were at the time. Interesting. This is, by the way, referred to as the long day of Joshua, and I want to end with this. I'm going to ask you this question, and then I want to say something to you. Do you know today if you're a child of the light? Jesus said that he has come to give us light. He says of himself that he is the light of the world. He says that he is the light. And men come to him, but there are other men who don't come to him because they love darkness. John says in 1 John, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What's the prerequisite? Walk in the light, knowing the light. Have your sins been forgiven? Have you told a lie? Have you robbed somebody? Have you cheated on the IRS? Have you committed adultery? Have you stolen? Whatever your sin is, and it's something, all of us are sinners, the Bible tells us we can transfer or convert our sin by giving it to God, and he gives us back his righteousness. It's called conversion. It's called walking in the light, knowing the light. Now watch this. When the day was extended, it allowed Joshua to eradicate the land of the enemy. Adonai Zedek, a type of the Antichrist, he, next week we'll see, loses big. His forces are already perishing before his very eyes as he's hiding in a cave. What's the point? This is the point. Whenever the day is lengthened, Satan's in trouble. The Bible says that we are children of the light and children of the day. The Bible says that the coming of the Lord will come as a thief in the night to those who walk in darkness. But Paul says we are not in darkness, so that day will overtake us as a thief. We walk in the light, and that day will not come upon us unaware. Walking in the light. When God extends the light, it's for victory. When God extends the light, it's for salvation. When God extends the light, it's for good. Jesus said, work the works of God now while it's daylight, because night is coming. And he spoke of it in a spiritual setting, when no man will be able to work. And I thought about this in closing. I want to ask yourself, do you walk in the light? Do you know the light? Watch. Listen. Every hour on Sunday, a church service begins somewhere in the world. I'm certain thousands and thousands of them in that time zone. There's 24-hour time zones for a Sunday. 24 hours in a day on Sunday, Satan hears people singing praise to God. He hears Satan hears the word of God being put forth. People are giving in their tithes and offerings, giving of their time and effort, giving of their time and worship, giving of their time and study. 24 hours on a Sunday. Sunday has got to be Satan's worst day. And you got to know it's true, because look at the problems you had getting here today. Now you know. That's why. He hates Sunday. And then I thought about this. Satan never has a good day. Because if it's not Sunday, it's Monday. And Monday, anywhere in the world, reminds us of what we were learning on Sunday. On Monday, I get up and I stretch my body and yawn and I say, thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, what I learned yesterday, put into practice in my life today. Satan never has a good Monday. Then I thought about Tuesday. And Tuesday, we want to remember what we're learning on Sunday. And also, we're reading the Bible for ourselves each day. And we're talking to God as we go along our way in our life. Then Wednesday comes and you come back to church and even bring your friends. Oh, that really upsets Satan big time. That ruins his time. Thursday comes. Friday comes. By now, Satan's praying on Friday, Lord, choke him on a fishbone, you know. But that doesn't happen either. Then Saturday comes and all the Jews around the world, they're giving praise and thanks to God. That's got to tick Satan off, don't you think? Then Sunday comes again. Satan never has a good day. And it dawns on us that the light and time is on our side. I know Mick Jagger sang that song, time's on my side. Have you seen Mick Jagger lately? Time is not on his side. But for the Christian, time is on our side. And listen, I gave my heart to Jesus 22 years ago. And to be quite honest with you, it would have been really nice if Jesus would have come on June 23rd. 20 plus years ago. That would have been fine with me. But he didn't. He elongated the day that others might come to know Jesus too. The time is coming when he's going to stop the clock and remove the church. And your opportunity to accept Christ will be over. Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Over. You will not have the opportunity to accept Christ again if you've heard the gospel and reject it. The sun is setting. And Jeremiah, in his book, said, the harvest is past and the summer is ended, and you're still not saved. Are you a child of the light?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at the first 21 verses of Joshua chapter 10, it's a study called Victory in the Life of a Christian. A valuable lesson in how the true and living God is truly involved in the lives of his people, even today. Victory in the Life of a Christian. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse exploration of this fascinating Old Testament book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, if you're being blessed by Real Radio, we'd love to hear about it. You can visit us at realradioactive.org and drop Pastor Jack a personal line. He loves to hear from listeners. realradioactive.org, and then click on the button Radio Reaction. Type in your message to Pastor Jack. He will get it, I guarantee you, even if it's just a few short words. You can also read what others have written, like this one. Pastor Jack, God be with all of you in Chino Hills. I'm so blessed here in Hawaii for Pastor Jack's ministry. Sincerely, and with aloha. That's it. Short and sweet, isn't it? Again, go to realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click Radio Reaction. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.